This is Tony Agnese. The program is Finding God's Grace, and my guest today is author and speaker Patty McGuire Armstrong, and we're talking about some of the books that Patty has written, and I know you've got a couple of children's books. You've got one called Dear God, I Don't Get It, and a new one that came out this year called Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. Let's talk about those books, the motivation for writing them, and what people can expect from those two books, especially the new one, Dear God, You Can't Be Serious.
Those books have, they're like the frosting on the cake of life. I've had so much fun writing those because I've read probably thousands of books to my kids over the years. Everything under the sun, we used to go to the library, and I based the characters on my own kids. They actually have the same names. I was going to change the names. My oldest said, no, Mom, those kids don't, because he kind of grew up, my oldest son. Each chapter he would read, and he loved it. He was part of the writing of the book. But then I put it aside for many, many years and did some editing, took them out of the mothball stage and published them with Ligori Publishers. And then the sequel came out, Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. And they are fun and they're humorous. I have had kids. Now, I wrote them. When you're a writer, you have to, for kids, you have to figure out, okay, what's the age group? So I said third through sixth grade, really. But preschoolers love it, and I can't tell you the number of teenagers and adults who've told me, I love that book. I had the president of Heartbeat Records told me, Susan Kane, she told me that her 14-year-old granddaughter read it three or four times. I have a lady I know, she has nine kids. Her older kids are just high-achieving kids, and she has a younger child who is has a learning disability, doesn't like to read. She could never get him to read a book, but she says he has read my book over and over and over again. So she gave him the sequel for his birthday this year, and she says he's always interrupting her, Mom, you gotta hear this. And he says, I think you should read this, Mom. I think you would get this. So I've been so pleased that as much fun as I had writing it, that kids have enjoyed it. And it really is about the type of day-to-day activities. It's just one big story in each book. In the first one, Aaron Ajax was praying that his family wouldn't have to move because his dad lost his job. And in the end, they do have to move. So he starts to question, what's the point of praying? Why pray when you don't even get what you want? Then he finds out a younger brother was praying that they could move. So now he's really confused because why pray at all? What's the point of that? And in the end, he comes to understand that prayer is about a relationship with God and trusting God, and that he's going to do what's best for us. And we can't always see the whole picture because, of course, it has a happy ending. Mm-hmm. Now, in the second book, Luke, the second brother, who is always up to something as he is in real life and always has been, the family decides to homeschool. Now, I don't want anyone to think this is, a pro-homeschooling book. No, because in the first book, they're in public school. The family is Catholic, and it's just part of the story, but I'm not pushing anything. But for families that do homeschool, it's fun for them to see, this is what this family is doing. And as a matter of fact, Luke fights it and doesn't want to, and so a lot of funny things happen. He maintains friendships with his public school friends. And once again, the theme is not just prayer, but also my will versus God's will. And I think, and that's why a lot of adults have said, sure. I really got a lot out of this, because isn't that what we all deal with? This is what I want, God. Can you give it to me, instead of letting him lead the way?
Certainly, I was just going to say that there is an adult angle to both of these books as well. You know, I think a lot of people tell me, what's the use of praying? I'm not going to get it anyhow. Or what's the point of praying? God already knows my needs. Why would I pray? He already knows what I need. And I hear that from adults, and I'm sure you do too. And making plans, you know, doing our planning without including God in our planning, that is a constant question for adults as well. Something, you know, that I've dealt with over the years is to turning things over to God. So the message, if you can teach that message at a young age, it's one that'll stick with you for a lifetime.
And through the story, it makes it real. You know, when the kids are having difficulties, how do they react? Because Most kids don't pick up a Catholic catechism. They learn through stories. And this is a story. And they are seeing this boy's faith lived out in each of the stories, even though they sometimes struggle with their faith and they're a little bit confused. But little by little by little, and in each chapter, there's some different aspect of life that is being dealt with. And each time, not in a way that hits them over the head, but in a way that a kid lives his life, and God is included in that. So they're not sitting around kneeling and praying for an hour as they try to grapple with something, but they're sending up a little prayer as they run into some difficulty in school. And the kids that have read it have given me such enthusiastic feedback. And I'm telling you, time and time again, I keep hearing that they read the book 2 and 3 times because it is entertaining. And I couldn't know for sure that it was entertaining until I got that feedback because, you know, Tony, because you're working on a book, when you're writing something, you lose your perspective. So it really helps when you hear that. It did accomplish what you hoped it would.
Let me repeat the titles again. Dear God, I Don't Get It, and Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. And they're both published by Liguori, right?
Right.
Liguori Publications, and they should be available in all of your Catholic bookstores. And I'm sure they're on Amazon and all the other sources as well, right?
They're everywhere, yes. And if they're not at your bookstore, just ask for it. They'll get them in because Liguori is in all the Catholic bookstores, and lots of the secular bookstores can get them in too.
You also wrote a book called Big Hearted, Inspiring Stories from Everyday Families. That book I saw quite a bit here in December on the internet posts about that book. And tell us how that came about, how you came about gathering these stories for this particular book.
Actually, I co-authored that with Teresa Thomas, mm-hmm. and we were asked to write that book. And so we both have big families. I have 10 kids. She has 9 kids. And we worked together, and we included some of our own stories. For instance, you know, the stories that I told earlier about adopting the boys from Kenya. We told our old stories, but we also told the stories of others, and lots of people share their stories. And the whole gist of it is being, everybody wants their families to be good. You want to raise good kids, and it's all about being big-hearted. And so through these different insights and experiences of different families, we see how they grew big-hearted. How did they put God at the center of their lives? What happened to them? One of my favorites is Tom Mahala shared his story where they had 7 healthy, intelligent, athletic sons. They went on and had an 8th child who was their first girl, but she had Down syndrome. And they actually hoped that she would just die from her, you know, medical conditions that often come with Down syndrome, and she needed heart surgery. But they knew that wasn't the right way to feel. At least, you know, Tom shares the story, and he prayed and knew that he was supposed to love his daughter, but he didn't. And in the end, it is, oh gosh, I just get teary every time I read that story. It is so touching. It is an amazing love story, how everybody fell head over heels in love with that little girl, to the point that they said, if God said, I will heal her from her disability, he said he and his wife would say, no, please don't. She's perfect the way she is, because her gift is love. You know, maybe their boys had so many gifts of being athletic, intelligence, and her gift is love, and she is the heart of that family. And so through these stories, you look at love and God, and how do you bring that into your family, and what does it look like? And the greatest testimony to life is life itself, and so the life of these families. And there's a lot of big families, but not all of them. Some have small families. It's whatever God has planned for you, and how do you find him in your life, and how do you put him in the hearts of your kids and your husband in marriage?
Mm-hmm. There's a story that you, one of your stories, the blessings we almost miss. Can you give us a little, without giving the whole story, a little abridged version of that?
Well, sure. I can say that after 4 kids, I pressured my husband to have a vasectomy, and we have 10 kids now. We had 8 of them. We had ourselves. And so that should tell you a little something, or a big something, I should say. And yeah, that was a big transformation in our own life. And we actually had started praying the rosary every day before we got to that point. So I always tell people, you don't go from point A to Z in one step, and it's a journey. So don't judge others. Don't be too hard on yourself, but keep moving in the direction of Catholic teaching and follow the church and pray and put God at the center of your life. And then the areas where you have those blind spots, the light starts to shine and you start to come to understand. And so my husband eventually had a vasectomy, but it's quite amazing how that all came about. We ended up having the same dream, and it became very clear that what we needed to care about was what God had planned for us, and that when you're deciding what you think you should do, how many kids you think you should have, is include God in that discussion and pray about it.
Patty, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Before we go, could you give out your web address? I know you have a website and you're on all of the social media sites as well. Could you give that information to our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. If you want to do one-stop shopping and find out all my different sites, and I have a blog at PattyMaguireArmstrong.com, and Patty's with an I. Maguire is M-A-G. PattyMaguireArmstrong.com, and it has all my books, and I write a lot of articles, and I write for a lot of other Catholic websites too. So I should put those links on my blog now that I'm speaking. I think I'll do that by the time people have a chance to get to it.
Patty Maguire Armstrong, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. It's been a pleasure.